The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
The airing of this program by this station is not an endorsement or recommendation by the station of the products or services discussed in the program. The station does not guarantee the results of any investments made by a listener to this program.
Josh Pick is the Chief Investment Advisor with Aptus Wealth Management, a state-registered investment advisory firm. This program is sponsored by Aptus Wealth Management. Exposure to ideas and financial vehicles discussed should not be considered investment advice or recommendation to buy or sell financial vehicle. This information should not be considered tax or legal advice. Individuals should consult with professionals to see if any ideas expressed would fit their specific situation. Past performance is not a guarantee of future results. Securities can fluctuate and when redeemed may be more or less than when originally invested.
It's nice to have you with us on the Aptus Retirement Blueprint Radio Show. I'm Bruce Hooley. Josh Pick of Aptus Wealth Management is here with us as well. And for the next hour, we'll be talking about investing, building toward a secure retirement, financial independence, lots of ways to talk about it. And we will touch on the latest trends and give you some options out there, some things to think about. And one of the things that I think you should think about is taking advantage of the opportunity that Josh and his team present you, which is for a no-obligation free consultation. You can get together with them. You can find out so much more than you already know. It certainly was the case with my wife and I. We became Aptus clients and we're very happy. But there's no pressure to do that. There's no obligation. Set up your consultation by calling their office at 614-917-1040, 614-917-1040. Their office is located physically in Lewis Center, just off Route 750. That's not far from 23 and 270. They do service clients outside the area, outside the state of Ohio, but they'd love to have you come in for the free consultation and look across the table at you face to face if that is at all possible for you. 614-917-1040, 614-917-1040, or Aptus Wealth, APTUS, aptuswealth.com. Josh, as we always do here on the program, we start with what current events there are to talk about as it might affect people's retirement. And we were looking at inflation numbers coming out this week, and in the past, well, I don't know what, 2 years, those numbers when released have been major headlines. They kind of came and went this week and nobody really made much over them because they were in line with expectations. There was a big correction in January over what was expected, but the February numbers were pretty much what everybody expected. And yet one Federal Reserve official that I saw quoted about the numbers said that he still described the path for the Fed back to 2% inflation, which is their favored rate of inflation or cap on inflation year over year. He said that road back is still bumpy. So they really still don't know when there are decreases in the interest rates coming. There were 11 increases last year. The consensus out there is that at some point the Fed will drop interest rates, but nobody's really willing to stand behind it like they were a few months ago where they thought those decreases were coming in March.
You know, it's interesting. Our conversations almost every week are about what's the Fed doing. It's almost like, yeah, the Fed is the new, you know, thing of the day and has been for a long time. But it's because it's so important. It's important how businesses borrow money. It's important in kind of forecasting the virility of the economy moving forward. And all the Fed really said was, what we said before, we really meant it, and everything's kind of status quo. But if we've learned anything from status quo is that the market tends to like status quo. So the market rallied on the news of everything is still going according to our pseudo plan. Mm-hmm. We're not going to raise or drop interest rates here in March, and we probably will not do anything, if not maybe a very subtle drop in May, even though you and I have talked many times about how the Fed is not politically aligned. That would be very apropos timing if, yeah, they dropped the interest rates, and the reason for that, because the market, while it likes status quo, it historically at least has really liked interest rate drops. So that would be a real nice tailwind for the incumbent come election time.
Yeah, and the reason why I like interest rates drops is because everybody likes to borrow money at a lower rate, and that's businesses too. And businesses, when they're borrowing, they're typically borrowing to expand, and that's a good thing for the economy across the board. If you just think about it, maybe in the housing sector, if loans are more affordable for borrowers, well, they're also more affordable for, think of a big building company. They've got to buy the lumber and everything. They got to build the house before somebody buys it. So a lower interest rate across the board is going to be good for the construction industry. It's going to be good for home buyers. And that extrapolates out to other industries as well. I've asked you this before. You are right. We do watch what the Fed does every week. Do we need the Fed? Because there are a lot of people who say, you know, they're overactive. They're over-involved in the economy. And they got a lot of criticism for waiting too long to raise rates the last time. And some people wonder when there's a quote-unquote mistake like that and inflation goes to 9%, which it did for a month in the middle of 2022. People question, like, well, what's the benefit of having these guys if they're going to blow it like they were perceived to have blown it when inflation skyrocketed to its highest level in 40 years.
Yeah, I think the pundits say that, you know, if the Fed wasn't there, we wouldn't have half these problems. But the fact of the matter is they are there, and it has completely changed economic policy. So now to say, let's just get rid of them would be cataclysmic.
I mean, okay.
I'm not suggesting that we could live life without them, but if we pulled the ripcord on it now, we would have a lot of medicine that we would need to take. And really bad tasting medicine for a long period of time before we kind of got back to homeostasis, if you will. I'm of the camp that, you know, they have a little bit too much power and they have too much influence and they have too much impact. And because of that, as you can see, they can create kind of bubbles almost on their own rather than bubbles being kind of, if you want to think of it, as naturally formed. So they are an artificial piece of our economy that can have more of a severe impact than we probably would like them to be able to have. But again, the toothpaste is out of the tube. I don't think you can go backwards.
Josh Pick, Bruce Hooley with you, Aptus Retirement Blueprint Radio Show. It is airing at 7 o'clock Friday night right now, or it's airing at noon on Saturday. We replay the show on Saturday. If you're listening to it in its first iteration, tell your friends they can listen to it tomorrow. And you can get with Josh and his team for your free, no-obligation consultation. Find out if you're a match as clients, if you're looking for somebody to manage your retirement, to help your investing. We're going to talk about the difference between saving and investing as the show progresses, but someone who is a fiduciary, legally obligated to do what is best for you, that's what they are at Aptus. 614-917-1040, their number at the office to set up your consultation. You can make your appointment online. Their web address is aptuswealth, A-P-T-U-S, aptuswealth.com. This is a dumb question, I guess. I don't know, but does the Fed have more influence now than they did when we were on the gold standard? Was the gold standard like something that sort of regulated interest rates and all that kind of stuff before, I think it was under FDR that the gold standard went away?
They absolutely have more power. I mean, our ability to effectively print money at that tipping point, when we went from what we called a gold standard dollar to what we now call a fiat currency, which just simply means that the only value that our currency has is because we as the United States says it does. That's it. Other than that, if the United States wasn't a big, powerful entity that it is, nobody would care about their dollar. But if I said I'm now creating the Josh Pick dollar, it's backed by me, and I'm going to issue a trillion of them, everybody would laugh,
yeah,
and nobody would take it. But the fact that the U.S. government's behind it matters. But what that enabled the Fed to do is control monetary policy by effectively creating dollars out of thin air, where in the past, if you created a dollar, you had to have sufficient gold to back that up, which is a finite resource. So it's changed the game entirely.
So I heard this week somebody was talking about the gold standard, and when it was rescinded, that FDR recalled all the gold and that everybody got a $20 bill for a $20 gold piece, and that $20 bill now is worth, I don't know, some small paltry amount, and that $20 gold piece is worth some astronomical amount.
Yeah, absolutely. That's exactly what occurred. And you know, this is really what fuels that conversation when we see the commercials on, you know, late night, buy your gold now, the U.S. dollar's going to zero. The reason being is, or at least the argument is, that gold is a stable way to preserve value. Now, I would argue that because we can point to gold very easily just over the last 20 years and kind of wreck that ideology. For example, and I'm going to round here quite a bit, but if you looked at gold during the financial crisis, 08, 09, gold hits all-time high of about, let's just call it about $2,000, $2,100 an ounce. We're right around there now. So gold went from $2,000 an ounce down to about $1,400, $1,500 an ounce, back up to $2,000 an ounce, over the last 15 years. Is that a good preservation of wealth? Now, people would argue, well, the dollar's devalued by so much over time and now gold's back. Well, what do you use the dollar for? You use the dollar for day-to-day transactions. You're not, nobody puts money in cash as an investment. It's a way to transact business. You invest dollars elsewhere, or you can save those dollars and earn a savings rate. But gold, could you imagine if your dollars were fluctuating in value that extremely? The price of an apple today is the price of 1/10 of, you know, X amount of gold. I don't think it's a great long-term hold. And if you look, you know, again, historically, gold has been the single worst investment other than cash over the last 100 years. Every other investment, bonds, stocks, real estate, farmland, list goes on, has been a better investment of the big categories than gold. So really what gold should be utilized for, in my opinion, is either just it feels good to own it, or I'm a gold collector of coins and I look at its numismatic value, or in times of extreme uncertainty, gold can be a safe haven. Think of kind of like putting the boat behind the island rather than pulling it out of the water. Gold can serve that purpose.
Josh Pick, Bruce Hooley with you. This is the Aptus Retirement Blueprint Radio Show. And you deal with clients who I am sure are, some of them, very nervous about where our economy is headed. The volatility that we've had over the last couple of years makes them nervous. Maybe the upcoming presidential election makes them nervous, depending on what their perceptions are about where the economy will go if one candidate wins or another candidate wins. And we've seen some investment vehicles pay higher rates of interest for people who are afraid of the market right now, and they get out and they hold cash, money markets, things like that, treasuries. I saw the treasury yields went down some this week. Is there a good time to hold cash? Is now a good time to hold cash? Or you said, you know, the only worse investment than gold has been cash. So do you have to have these conversations with people to sort of con them and say, you know, what you think might be a secure place for you to park some of your investments right now might not be as secure as you think it is?
Yeah, absolutely. And I have to step back and talk about gold. You know, I said that gold can be good in certain time periods. I would make an argument that now might be one of those time periods. So it's not to say that, you know, at Aptus, we don't hold positions in gold from time to time. As a matter of fact, we hold a minor position today in a lot of our portfolios. But to answer your question about cash, when is a good time to hold cash? Well, if you were a market timer, which I don't think is a good idea.
Yeah.
Sometimes you will hold cash and you'll try and time. And I hear that a lot at the office. What do you think? What do you think is a good plan? Should I keep this cash? I just got a windfall. I got $500,000. Should I hold the cash and then wait for the market to go down a little bit? Every single year we could make arguments on why the market's going to go down. I mean, think about since COVID.
Mm-hmm.
So the market went down 30 some odd percent in a matter of 4 weeks or something like that. Before it ended up the year up, I think it was up 18 by the end of the year.
Wow.
Now, was there plenty to talk about on why the economy would not do well during COVID? Of course. Following year, there's almost even more to talk about. Now we're arguing, well, we just printed $5 trillion. The rooster's going to have to come back and roost. And when are we going to feel the impact of this? Inflation's coming. Market finishes up again. Following year, market corrects. Following year, market goes back up. The simple fact of the matter is, cash is necessary for safety. But beyond that, there's a huge difference between investing and saving. And the conversations I'm having a lot of today is, I don't want to be in the market because I can get 5% in a money market.
Mm-hmm.
I don't want to be in the market because I get 5% in a CD. Why don't I put all my money in X? Whatever it is. But really what they're saying is the volatility scares me, and that risk-free rate of return, which we talk about all the time, the risk-free rate of return is so high that why would I put my money in the market at risk when I can get such a close rate of return at no risk? Okay, that's a short game. Let's talk about the long game. We already know the Fed has already laid its cards on the table and said, we are going to start lowering interest rates as soon as possible. And we believe that'll probably be sometime in May. So in May, that 5% that you're getting is going to be less than 5. What typically happens to the stock market when we do rate cuts? Typically, historically.
Stock market goes up.
Goes up dramatically because profitability goes up. If I'm borrowing money at 5% to build my widgets that I'm selling at X dollars, and now all of a sudden my cost of borrowing money goes down to 4, my profitability goes up, which means the stock market goes up. So now my money market isn't earning 5, it's earning 4, and the stock market's gone up. Do I get out now? I'm going to hold it. Four's still okay. All right. So then I'm going to wait. And then they lower them again. And now I'm not earning four. I'm earning three. What happened to the stock market? Went up again.
Yeah.
Once, okay, hit two. That's enough. I'm getting back in the stock market. What has the stock market just done?
Well, it's gone up while your cash has gone down. And so you're buying back in at a higher rate. And your rate of return starts, you know, in a position where you're not positioned to make as much money right away. You've already basically watched as gains have happened that you could have had.
Your predetermined path was, I'm going to buy high and sell low.
Yeah. Now you're buying your predetermined path, you said, was to buy
high and sell low. Because you just said.
Oh, I see what you're saying. You forced that upon yourself with your decision to hold cash.
Yeah. And
that wasn't really your plan. That wasn't what you were hoping to do. That's what you, in effect, did.
Yeah, and unfortunately, you know, we trick ourselves into saying, well, when the market pulls back, I'm going to throw my money in then. How many people do you know doubled down in 08, 09? Or did they say, oh, my Lord, this is Armageddon. It's never coming back. I mean, the media was certainly telling you that.
Yeah.
But if you would have put your money in 08, 09, you would have been handsomely rewarded.
No doubt.
The takeaway, I think, is this. Can you dollar cost average in, which just simply means, okay, I have that same $500,000 windfall. I'm going to put 50 grand in a month until it's all in. And that at least spreads my risk over 10 months. And you can pick whatever time you want over the next 3 years, et cetera. But you have to come up with a predetermined plan that isn't emotionally, I'm just going to make the perfect decisions at the right time. Yeah. Nobody does that.
No.
And I think, you know, this is the big takeaway. And I have this conversation with clients all the time. There's a big difference, to kind of keep on harping on this point, between being an investor and being a saver. A saver is worried about, what am I making today? An investor is worried about, what am I going to make 10 years from now? And, you know, I know that listeners can't see this, but if I show you this chart, this is just the S&P 500 from 1984 until today. And I'm just looking at this quite literally on my cell phone, on my iPhone. Can you see how many bad times are in that?
There's some bad times in there. There's some significant downs, but the overall is a gigantic upswing.
Gigantic. I mean, yeah. I bet this is probably an algorithmic scale because it's so high. I mean, it starts down. Let me see if I can tell where the numbers are even here. So this chart starts at about $180 a share, or 180, right? Mm-hmm. And now we're at 51.32.
Yeah.
So we went from $200 to $5,000, if you want to think of it that way, since 1984. But if you would have bought in the year, let's say December 1st, 2006, you were at 1406. Fast forward, by 2009, you were down to 1,000. So if you would have bought 2006, 3 years later, you went from $1,400 down to $1,000. Well, it's time to get out. I mean, clearly this market thing's a bunch of malarkey.
Yeah.
And then you hold on just another 10 years and you got 5,000.
Yeah.
So the takeaway, I think, here is you have to change your mentality. Think of all the people that you know that are uber rich. Most of them made a decision that they were playing the long game as an investor. They decided they weren't playing the savings game, and that patience is rewarded.
And that's not to say that at Aptus they're 100% all into the market all the time. They're very purposeful in how they analyze things. You'll find that out when you go in and sit for your free consultation and when you get your own personal blueprint. That's what my wife and I received back. And then we made the decision on, okay, here's a strategy we like. This is another strategy, maybe a little too aggressive or not aggressive enough for us. That's a personal decision that you make. But you'll be educated when you make that decision, and you will have that personal blueprint that fits you, how you've invested in the past, and how what your goals are going forward. So take advantage of that free consultation. Set it up. Call their office at Aptus, 614-917-1040, 614-917-1040, or you can make the appointment online at Aptus Wealth, APTUS, aptuswealth.com. What right now are you looking at in terms of some of those vehicles that people have traditionally associated with safe returns in volatile times? We've chatted before about the inverted yield curve. I'm looking at the Treasury this week. It looks like it's getting closer to not being inverted anymore. The 2-year return is 4.6. The 10-year is 4.2. So that's still out of balance because typically, you know, the longer people hold your money, the higher return. But, you know, we can throw bonds in there. We can throw money markets in there. We can throw a lot of things in there that people have viewed as a safe place whether it's in a volatile market or I'm getting close to retirement and I want to protect my money, so I'm going to put it in bonds and put it in money market and going to put it in treasuries.
Yeah, now that I got on my soapbox talking about how everybody should be in the market, it's naive to think that the market is for everybody. It's also naive to think that, dependent upon where you are, what season of life you're in, that you should have all your money in the market. And most people should have, we talk about diversity. Diversity doesn't just simply mean owning Coke and Pepsi and Home Depot and all these different companies. It means owning different asset classes because they react differently. So the goal of investing, even long-term investing, is to have some money in the market, but to have uncorrelated assets, which is what you're talking about, that are typically safer than having your money in the market. So bonds are an interesting animal that it's been a really tremendous last 20 years watching what bonds have done. Because bonds are inversely proportional to interest rates, which means as interest rates go down, bond prices go up. And I think a lot of people anecdotally know that, mm-hmm. but the question is why? Well, what a bond is an IOU. That's all it is. It's Coca-Cola, the United States government, whoever it is, saying, we need money. So you loan us 100 grand. We'll pay you X interest rate. So let's just say you said it's 4.2.
Yeah, 4.2. Right, so, that's a treasury right now. 10-year treasury, 4.2.
Okay, so let's use treasuries. The treasury is at 4.2% for a 10-year. So I buy a treasury at 4.2%, and over the next 10 years, they're going to pay me 4.2% every single year. And at the end of 10 years, they're going to give me my money back, my 100 grand back. Now, let's say that interest rates go down. If interest rates go down and now treasuries are only paying 3.8% over 10 years, and I'm 3 years into mine that's paying 4.2, and I say, you know what, I don't want to hold it for 10 years. I'd like to get out. People are going to pay me more than the 100 grand I gave them, because if they use their 100 grand, they're only going to get 3.8. They'd rather get 4.2. So they're going to have to pay a premium on that. Maybe they'll pay me $102,000 as opposed to 100. The inverse is true, though, and that's what's happened predominantly over the last 12 months, if you think about it. And we've seen bonds get hurt, is that I'm holding a bond paying 5, and now new bonds are paying 6 or something like that. And now I want to get out early, and I'm hosed. So if you own bonds in a bond fund, you have no control over that. The bond fund's going to do what it's going to do. You and I are the only, let's say you and I are in our own little mutual fund.
Mm-hmm.
And we're the only ones that have money in it. And I say, that's fine. The mutual fund has all these bonds. As long as we hold on for 10 years, we're going to get our rate of return and we're fine. And you go, yeah, Josh, I appreciate that. But
I'm missing gains now.
I want to take my money and go buy something cool with it.
Yeah.
Well, when you sell, it affects me because I own a fractional ownership in both of our stuff.
Sure.
So if you own a mutual fund, what Tom and John and Sally and Sue, what they do impacts your bottom line. So that the safe way to play bonds right now, and it's labor intensive and it's difficult and you better know what you're doing, is to buy individual bonds. That way, if I own a bond that pays 5% and if interest rates go down, I have the control to be able to sell that bond at a premium. But what if I'm wrong? What if it's the 1980s again? And we said, we got inflation licked, and then it wasn't, and then Volcker had to come in and raise interest rates up to the teens. What if we're wrong? What if interest rates go the other direction? Well, if I'm in a bond fund, everybody's going to go, I'm out.
Mm-hmm.
I want to go get higher rated bonds. Well, who does that affect? All of us.
All of you. Yeah.
But if I own the individual bond, then I have the ability to hold that bond all the way to maturity. So what's my risk? Nothing. Other than instead of earning 5 or 6%, I just earned my 4, but I didn't lose any money. So my strong recommendation is, if you have the ability, or call our office and we'll help you, invest in individual bonds as much as you can, because what you just did was say, I'm happy with 5% or whatever the rate of return is. If I hold it the whole duration, that's what I'm going to get. That's my worst case scenario. If I end up with a scenario where interest rates go down and I can actually sell it at a premium, then I'm also going to decide that too. But I'm in the driver's seat.
Well, and that's the benefit of having somebody who's a fiduciary and somebody who's well-schooled in all this, because there's a chance, you know, you're listening to that last minute and a half and you're like, my head's spinning a little bit. I'm not sure I followed all that, first of all, if so, and you're listening to this on Friday night when it first airs, you can catch the replay tomorrow at noon. But that's the benefit of having somebody like Josh and Aptus, a fiduciary, legally obligated to do what is best for you, taking care of your situation and monitoring this on a daily basis. That was one of the things that my wife and I thought about, was, are we really able, in a position not too busy, to monitor this ourselves and to know what we're really monitoring? And the answer to that was no. I've said many times, the benefit of going in for the free consultation at Aptus is the number one and two things you gain, knowledge. And then when you gain knowledge, you gain peace of mind. So it's not a painful process at all. It's not a low-pressure environment. It's a no-pressure environment. Set up your free consultation today. Take advantage of getting some of your personal questions answered about where you are investing toward your retirement. 614-917-1040. 614-917-1040. Or you can make your appointment online at Aptus Wealth, APTUS, aptuswealth.com. We appreciate your time. Thank you for listening to the Aptus Retirement Blueprint Radio Show. I'm Bruce Hooley here with Josh Picco, Aptus Wealth Management. Aptus is located in Lewis Center, just off Route 750. And you can reach them by phone at 614-917-1040 or on the web at Aptus Wealth, APTUS, aptuswealth.com. Why would you want to do that? Well, because they offer you a free, no-obligation consultation. Go in, sit across the table from Josh and his team, find out more about investing, and hopefully arriving at a place when you retire where you have financial independence, where you have an income stream coming in. Lots of topics to talk about, lots of investment vehicles. That's what we do every week here. And Josh joins me on Mondays at 12:30 p.m. for Money Monday on the Bruce Hooley Show on 989theanswer.com. My wife and I are clients, and we didn't become clients for the first couple of years that I knew Josh because he never twisted my arm. He never even asked me to come in. And finally, one day I asked him. So when I tell you it is a no-pressure environment, that's absolutely how it's been for me, and I know that's how it will be for you. But we gain peace of mind and knowledge, and we're very happy as Aptus clients. So I just want to make you aware of your opportunity to go in for that free consultation at 614-917-1040. And Josh, I wanted to start this half hour of the program by hitting on a story that I saw on Money Magazine, and something stuck out at me. It says, is it a good time to save money? 91% of Americans think so. I'm a little chagrined that 100% of Americans don't think so. But I'd change a word in that. I'd change save to invest. And I get down here and it says that 65% of people are reluctant to talk about their savings, and 62% say the same thing about their income. I wonder how much, because we all have this image of people who say, I haven't gone to the dentist in so long that now I'm afraid to go because I'm afraid I'll get scolded. When people come in for a consultation with you, first of all, they've made a decision. They're going to talk about it or they wouldn't be walking through the door. But is that the hurdle that a lot of people have to get over, is being reluctant to talk about finances?
I think it's a huge hurdle. I think there's two huge hurdles. One is that kind of doctor approach. I haven't been to the doctor, I haven't been to the dentist in so long. I'm almost fearful of what they'll tell me. So I think there's a general belief that we're so far behind the eight ball that I'd like to just euphorically believe that I'm not that far back. And I just know when I walk in, they're going to say, retire. That's adorable. Why don't we start talking about, you know, whether or not you're going to go broke in the next 60 days rather than retire? And that's just simply not the case. I mean, I think, you know, what's the best time to start saving? Well, yesterday. And the next best time is today. What's the best time to go to the gym and start eating better? Well, yesterday, but the best time is today. We can always improve our situation. And I think, you know, people don't understand truly the power of compounding. And, you know, we think that things grow linearly. So if I save $100, this is the math I always hear. If I start saving $100 a month, that's $1,200 a year. I mean, in 10
I'll
years,
never get where I want to get.
In 10 years, I'm only having 12 grand. What does that do for me? Well, Ben Franklin said that compounding is the most powerful force on earth, even more powerful than gravity. And the reason for that is it's not linear. It's exponential. So, you know, if you think about it very simply, a 10% rate of return on $100 is $10. A 10% rate of return on $100,000 is $10,000. And the quicker you get that ball, that snowball rolling down the hill, the better. I think you'll be surprised at what kind of impact you can make in your life, even if you're a little behind that eight ball.
Yeah, and one of the things that I'll freely admit is I don't understand all the nuances of it, but I understand that it exists, and I understand that there's great power in it, in its existence and how it can work for me. Is it hard to get people to understand the difference between an investor mentality and a saver mentality?
There really is, and it all centers right back to that compounding philosophy. You know, I'll give some examples. I have a very good friend who sold a company, came into a windfall, and he's kind of almost in like lockdown. He goes, and it was a lot of money, you know, a few million bucks.
Yeah.
He's got a few million bucks. He's never been a saver. He's never been an investor. He's never been any of those things. He's just a really good entrepreneur. So he grew this company, sold it for a few million bucks. And he's looking at it going, And ironically, the company was in the financial services business, by the way. So he's looking at it going, I don't know what to do. I'm just going to stockpile all my cash, earn a 5% rate of return. What am I going to do? Well, the fact of the matter is 5% is great for the next year.
Mm-hmm.
5% isn't that much less than 9% over the next year when you do the math that way. But what is the difference between a 5% average annual return and a 9% average annual return over the next 10 years? How about 20? How about 30? Well, now we're talking about far more money than the original yeah. $3 million that we ever put into the darn thing.
Lots of commas in the difference. That's
lots
what the difference is.
So I think the takeaway is not that I think you should you just blindly throw all your money into the market, because not everybody's suited for that. But how do I effectively get the highest rate of return within the parameters of what I'm comfortable with? And maybe those parameters are, I could stomach if the market went down 10% in 1 year, but do 30 would just, I'd want to jump out a window.
Yeah.
All right. So how do we build something where, of course, if you only want a 10% drop, you're not going to get the same upside as somebody who's willing to accept 30, but you're still going to have more potential in the long run than just earning five. And, you know, in the previous segment, we talked about the other risk is money markets are paying five today. They're not going to pay five forever.
Hmm.
Would you rather own shares in a bunch of different companies that have been around for 50 years and will be around for another 50, and they're constantly growing and getting more profitable? Or would you rather just rely upon the bank to tell you what they're going to pay you, which is what a money market is?
Yeah, and let me just say from my personal experience too, like what I've learned from these conversations that I'm privileged to have with Josh every week and from being a client is that I've learned about, you know, my perception before of quote unquote, saving or investing in my retirement. First of all, I've learned there's a big difference between investing and saving. Second of all, I've learned that it's not like retirement is not like compiling a big pot of money and then withdrawing pieces and parts of it when I retire and just hope that I don't outlive that. I've learned that there's an approach in retirement where your investments are providing income. And growth is a part of that. And I've learned that discussions with you, it's a fluid situation. It's not a, we come up with a blueprint and we put it on autopilot and we never reexamine it and we never adjust it. And it requires constant monitoring. I don't have the time to do that as a person engaged in, you know, raising my kids and doing my job and stuff like that. But that is your job. And that is what you do, and you do it very well. And I just wonder how much clients' perception of how an effective blueprint works, how much that's an epiphany to people, as they may have had the perception that I have, which is we're going to save. Okay, I get the difference between saving and investing, but it's not really about like trying not to outlive what you've gained from your investments.
Yeah, you know, it's not necessarily anyone's fault. There's a lot of static out there. We hear, you know, if you go on MSN or Yahoo right now, I'm sure the first 10 articles in the money section will be how to not outlive your money, mm-hmm. why you're going to outlive your money. What are the 10 biggest mistakes that people make to run out of money?
Yeah.
Right. So we have this kind of famine mentality where there's a slice of pie that we get our certain slice and that's all we get. And we better eat it slowly or we're going to run out of food. And that's just simply not the case. Now, that does not mean that there aren't certain things that you should do with interest rates being high, for example. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's a great time to lock down, you know, guaranteed income. It's a great time to lock down longer term fixed rates if you're in or nearing retirement. So I'm not suggesting that you should put all your money in the stock market and just hope that one day your portfolio will be so big that dividends will satisfy all of your income needs. If we're all worth $100 million, that would probably work. But the fact of the matter is we're not. So how do we allocate our income properly so it continues to grow, but we still satisfy the income that we want?
Yeah.
And how do we keep as much of it away from the government via taxes as possible?
Yeah, that's a unique balancing act. And I know you specialize in it at Aptus because we've had many conversations about taxes and how to have a strategy when it comes to taxes. And it's really an effective plan for retirement. And you guys are fiduciaries, so you're legally obligated to do what's best for your clients. Is that it's you have a blueprint, but it's really like it's a bunch of different plans. Like there's a tax strategy there, there's a growth strategy there, there's an income generating strategy there. It's a lot of complex tentacles to one overriding thing that could all fall under the umbrella of a blueprint for retirement investing.
And it's kind of a living, breathing creature. And that, you know, what we're suggesting that people invest in today is drastically different in some components than what we were telling them before. I mean, does it mean that I don't think you should still have some money in the market? And it doesn't mean you shouldn't have some money in fixed? Sure. But there are certain strategies that are available today that did not look attractive before. Tax codes are going to change. You know, mm-hmm. our tax code's supposed to sunset in 2025. I'm surprised that it hasn't been changed. I'm talking about the Trump tax plan. Mm-hmm. I'm surprised it hasn't been changed yet. But will that change the blueprint? Of course. Does it change the concept? Does it change our goals? No, but it changes drastically the mechanics that we have to do. So, for example, right now is a great tax environment. You know, long-term capital gains rates are very good. Income tax rates are very strong. We're still not taxed on 100% of our Social Security. All of those things could change in the next 12, 24 months. That changes everything.
So we don't try to get political. We don't want to get political on this show because everybody needs to be investing in retirement. But it's not just a factor of shift from Trump administration to Biden administration. It's a factor of any time we shift from an administration of one political party to an administration of another political party, there is very often a dramatic departure from the policies of the former to the policies of the latter. And there has been, under Joe Biden, a departure on a lot of different fronts, whether it's energy policy or immigration policy or international policy or whatever. And many of the things that were done from 2016 to 2020 have been undone. Why do you think the Trump tax policy, what is it about that has worked for the bulk of the American people? Because I think it's safe to say that if the Biden administration felt like that wasn't working for the bulk of the American people, they would not have been hesitant to change it.
Or maybe there's an argument that they couldn't get something passed seemingly gridlocked House and Congress. I would also argue, even though I don't get political, you said that we changed our immigration policy. What is that policy again?
Our policy is we don't have one.
Okay,
now,
just checking.
Yeah, that's pretty much where
so right that is one departure, and that we're the first. This is the first scenario where we've had no immigration policy. But nevertheless, if you look at the Trump tax plan, as much criticism as it got in the beginning, and this is not me being a proponent of Trump in any capacity whatsoever. However, if you look at the criticism that it was met with in our office, we ran a myriad of examples of who would be negatively affected by this. And the only examples that I can come up with is somebody who lives on a very small income because they have zero debt and is incredibly philanthropic because we limited the amount that we could take as a deduction for charitable contributions. That is the only scenario I could come up with where somebody was on the wrong side of the change in taxes. So, you know, whether it's just a matter of not getting passed or what, we are in an environment right now that is the most tax favorable environment that I can think of personally since I graduated college and actually started making money, which has been the better part of 25 years.
Okay.
So, you know, we're in a great scenario. Now, that said, when President Biden ran for office, he said he was going to make a tremendous amount of changes to Social Security taxation, wage taxes, the way we handle capital gains. None of those have happened. If there's a second term, will they happen? If another, left side of the aisle person gets elected, will he carry that torch and be able to make that happen? I don't know. But, all I can tell you is when we look at the way we handle plans today, it's a great time to take some capital gains.
Yeah. And first of all, have this conversation with Josh, with a fiduciary. That's what they are, legally obligated to do what's best for you. Set up your consultation, 614-917-1040, or online at aptuswealth.com, aptuswealth, A-P-T-U-S, aptuswealth.com. Look, my knowledge of this is anecdotal. My wife is a CPA. She does taxes, and I just know that there were things over the course of a 20-year marriage that I used to always have to keep track of, and she'd come to me at the end of the year, and she'd say, did you donate anything to a charity? Clothes or something like that. We don't have to keep track of that anymore because there's like the standard deduction went way up. And it strikes me that our taxes are a little bit more simplified than they used to be. And that may be the case or may not be the case for everyone, but it's interesting. Like if you said the taxes are advantageous to investors right now, That to me is just another great reason for people to prioritize investing and getting their retirement on a path, because you can't really expect to get where you want to get if you never set foot on the path and you never commit to a retirement blueprint.
Yeah, the unfortunate reality is that not working for your money is the most tax-efficient way to draw income. That's the easiest way I can put it.
Sure.
If you are generating passive income, passive meaning these investments are generating income for me. And again, we were talking about the separation between savings and investing. An investor passive income is the most tax-efficient way to draw income. So if you have, let's say you own a bunch of shares of Costco,
mm-hmm.
at most you're going to pay 20% in capital gains taxes on that. I don't care how much money you draw for that. You have $1 million worth of capital gains and you live on $1 million, you're paying 20% in taxes. If you get $1 million worth of interest from the bank out of a money market account, you're paying 37% in taxes. If you have a job where you're making $10 million a year, you have 37% taxes. Plus, I didn't even include state income taxes mm-hmm. in there, right? So, you know, it's always better to receive passive income. But I think what we're really pointing towards here is not really harping on just the tax circumstances, but how everything changes. You know, today there's something called hedged equities, which, you know, I think is very apropos timing as we look at the Magnificent Seven and the market running mm-hmm. up as much as it has. People are saying, I'd really like to participate in the market. I have this fear of missing out. But at the same time, I also have this thing in my gut that tells me it's just a matter of time before this house of cards falls. And I'm not going to be the moron that gets caught in a 2001, 2002 debacle like the dot-com crisis or, you know, whatever it might be, because that's the, you know, most recent bubble, we can call it, that really took hold. Well, you know, there's something called hedged equities, which essentially means I can kind of bookend my possibilities. If the market goes up, I'm willing to accept that I'm not going to get 100% of it. I'm willing to accept a percentage or a cap or something to that effect of what it goes up. If the market goes down, can you limit my downside risk? Because that's really what I'm scared about.
Yes.
If the market goes up 40 and I only go up 20, but you tell me I only have a possibility of losing 5, that's a game I'm willing to play, but I don't like the up 40, down 40 game. Well, rewind the clock back 3 or 4 years ago, and options prices made that kind of unfeasible. The market had not even established a solid platform. And by the market, I mean industry, you know, companies that are designing these types of services and products. They really didn't exist in a economies of scale way where it made sense. So it wasn't very attractive. So we weren't really talking about them. Well, is that appealing to a lot of people today? Yeah, it's one of the fastest growing industries within the industry of investing. So things are always morphing and changing. I had a conversation with somebody today, and I said, I know that you want to have 65% market exposure, but at the same time, every time we talk, you're just waiting for the shoe to drop. You're panicked. Would you like to bookend that a little bit on a percentage of it? And he goes, I didn't even know that was a possibility. Well, let's talk about it. And he goes, yeah. And then it's a matter of trying to talk him out of doing all of it.
Yeah.
Right. So, I mean, you're always kind of morphing and controlling, and he's also 5 years older, which changes things too.
Yeah, and that was my conversation with you when Sherry and I sat. You know, that's a vehicle we didn't even know existed, and that was a vehicle that was very attractive to us for a piece of our retirement. That's the benefit of going in and sitting with Josh and finding out what your options are and having them gauge your exposure to volatility and your tolerance for volatility. 614-917-1040, 614-917-1040, free, no obligation consultation. And you can also make your appointment online at Aptus Wealth, APTUS, aptuswealth.com. I wonder how much people should or should at least consider changing their perception of how to best invest for retirement. For a long time, as long as I've been alive and prior to that, the American dream was own your own home. And a lot of people would have answered the question, what's your number one investment? My home. My home is my number one investment. So security is the backstop to that, but you know, home ownership considered to be a great investment. Here's a headline from Money Magazine. This one stuck out because we now have, high interest rates, and we hear all the time about, tough to find a home, tough to buy a home, tough to afford a home. And you look around Central Ohio and what's covering our landscape. A lot of apartment buildings are covering our landscape. They wouldn't build them if there wasn't a demand for them. So here's the headline. The income needed to buy a typical home has soared 80% since 2020. Now, that one caught my eye because that's not that long ago. And the story says that last month, January, home buyers needed to make about $106,500 to afford the monthly mortgage payments for a typical home. That's up from about $59,000 in January of 2020. This is a report from Zillow. So when you buy a home, you get money together, you get a down payment, you put it down. You could easily put that down payment into a different kind of an investment. How do you feel when you hear those costs soaring? And we talked about the power of compounding early on. Maybe instead of plunking $20,000, $25,000 down on a home, I don't know, does it make sense to put it into an investment and ride it out in a place where you're making a monthly payment, apartment payment, or whatever every month?
Well, there's a bunch of categories of investments, and they all do different things. And they don't all do the same thing. For example, growth mutual funds are very good at growing, but at the same time, they have a lot of volatility attached to them. Annuity contracts, by immediate annuity contracts, they're great for lifetime income, but there's no liquidity attached to it at all. If you look at a home, I almost qualify a home in the protection planning element of your financial plan. And by that, I mean, how many people, I'd be very curious of the percentage of people that are listening right now that are sitting in their house and going, I could never afford this house if I tried to buy it today.
I think it'd be high.
Be really high.
Yeah.
Because the house that you paid $200,000 for is now $400,000, and the 2.85% interest rate you have today is now 7.5%. So the payment is probably 80% greater. And you would have had to come up with an even larger down payment, which means you would have had to postpone. The list goes on. Did your house change? No.
No.
So at some point, you'll pay that house off. And now, rather than paying rent, you have a house that you can live in for the rest of your life. And I'm not naive to the fact that I know there's maintenance and there's a whole bunch of stuff that goes along with it. But that's the true advantage of owning a home, I believe, is protection from long-term soaring costs of housing. You drastically limit your exposure to that. Because what will end up happening with all of those apartments that you said that are going up, talk to anybody that's renting and has been renting for the past 3 or 4 years, and they'll almost all tell you every single year they raise my rent by an astronomical amount. And at some point, I'm not going to be able to even afford my rent on my current cost of income. Well, if you bought that home pre-COVID, you're probably sitting there going, yeah, I mean, my taxes went up a little bit, and, you know, the cost of utilities went up a little bit. But I hate to break the news to you, your utility costs apply on the apartment too. So that really didn't change anything. So I think it adds to that solidarity, and it's also good for communities, and we can go through the whole list of things.
Yeah, I mean, here's some things that I haven't considered this myself, but it says today's home buyers are relying on several strategies, including renting out parts of their home, moving to cheaper cities, and even co-buying houses with friends. Those are concepts I haven't heard of, but I suppose uncertain economic times force people to think outside the box.
Yeah, and I think COVID really changed the game on living and working in the same location. You know, now we're very mobile. So we're seeing areas of the country, you know, like people that were living in California moving to Montana and moving to, you know, Texas and all these different places, because now they're moving based upon housing and taxation, knowing that they can work remotely and they don't have to be right next to the city in which they work.
Sure. Everything's changing all the time. And the thing about it is things can change. That's fine. But when things change and you're unaware of them, and when they have a cost, a back end cost, with your retirement investments, do you have time to fix that? You really don't. That's what made my wife and I nervous, was we were managing our own retirement and we were afraid we'd make a big mistake and we wouldn't have time to correct that mistake. We no longer have that fear because we have the peace of mind of being Aptus clients. I think you can gain that peace of mind too, or at least gain the knowledge that will tell you whether or not it makes sense for you. Set up your free consultation with Josh and his team. 614-917-1040 is the number at their office in Lewis Center. It's right off Route 750, easy to get to. You can also make your appointment online at Aptus Wealth, APTUS, aptuswealth.com. Not far from 23 and 270, Aptus Wealth Management. Josh, thanks for your time today. Look forward to talking to you on Money Monday at 1230 Monday.
You as well. Thanks, Bruce.
The airing of this program by this station is not an endorsement or recommendation by the station of the products or services discussed in the program. The station does not guarantee the results of any investments made by a listener to this program.
three-star general, Michael J. Flynn, head of the Pentagon Intelligence Agency, knew all the government's dirty secrets.
He was one of the most respected generals in the military.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to. He understood its funding.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
The explosive new documentary, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, and covers the facts behind this scandal.
Flynn told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire.
I find out the worst enemy that I'm going to face in my life is right here in America. They took my assessment and they wanted me to change it. And I was like, I'm not changing it.
They had to get rid of Flynn.
With in-depth interviews, archival footage, and never-before-seen personal records of the man behind the headlines.
I just felt like I was drowning.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.